One of the great joys of preparing a sermon is to see how the scriptures fit together. And that's true today. That is, until we get to Herod. Our first three lessons ring with joy. In Samuel, all is right with the world. David brings the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem, marking it as more than a great city. It is now the spiritual home of all of Israel. The journey is marked with joy, more than joy, with elation. But even in the greatest joy, there are often fault finders and even tragedies. There are here also. I'm just going to leave you with that little teaser to spike your curiosity and to delve into your Bibles to figure that out for yourselves. You may have to use a Bible that has explanations in it, because I don't think you'll find it in the word itself, but it's interesting, so go for it. The Psalm 2 rings out with joy, setting us up for the thought that perhaps it was crafted by David for this very moment of his bringing the Ark of the Lord into the royal city. The Psalm 2 rings out with celebration and elation. All is right with the world. Those who live their lives desiring to please God will be blessed. The psalmist praises God. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. In Ephesians, Paul follows with praise, with joy, and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us through Jesus. The Ephesians have lived to see how God the Father has revealed himself through his Son, and through him, the Holy Spirit. Through him, we live forgiven, and now we are to live to the praise of his glory. Paul reminds us that we've been marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He tells us that this seal is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption, to the praise of his glory. Paul is saying to us, feel the joy. You are God's own. You and you and you and you and you and you. You. Because Jesus was sent here for you. You are all God's beloved. Did you look in the mirror this morning and did you see God's beloved? I hope your answer is yes, but if it was not, then go home and look in that mirror again and point at that reflection and say with conviction, you are the Lord's beloved. Jesus was sent here for you. And yes, we forget. We forget every day to give God our praise and thanksgiving, to see him at work in our lives. We are weak. We have good intentions, but still we let God down. But thanks be to our Lord Jesus. We are able to pick ourselves back up and begin again. O God of second chances, here I am again. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. I cannot help but wonder Did the scholars place these scriptures here to show us the contrast between life with God and life without? Because next, we have Herod. Now, he knew. Herod knew in his heart there was something special about John. He knew that he was God's person. John had the courage and the confidence because he had the Spirit of God to be able to look Herod in the eyes. Herod, who was notorious, he was feared. To face Herod was to face danger. Yet here was John, who could look him in the eye and say, "You have done wrong. You are in mortal danger, and you need to get right with God." And Herod, who didn't hesitate to have his own children killed, who was notorious as someone you do not cross, let John live. Jailed, yes, but alive. And scripture tells us protected by Herod, protected against Herod's own wife. That is, until that fateful day when he made a promise he would rule for the rest of his days. He protected John until that day he drank too much, until his head no longer ruled his actions. He made an offer to give Herodias, his daughter, whatever she wanted. Who makes such a promise? Not someone who is thinking clearly. And then Herod, to save face, gave her what she asked for. Which is better? To admit you made a mistake, were not yourself, were under the influence, or to humble yourself? Which is better? To compound your sin and take the life of a man you instinctively knew was touched and called by God, or to admit you are wrong? How many of us can remember a time when we cared more about what people thought about us and didn't even give a thought as to what God thought of us? In Ephesians and Philippians, Paul tells us, be imitators of Christ. If you have any encouragement of being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose with Jesus. For over 2,000 years, Herod has come down to us notorious in his thoughts and actions. And he will continue to be known that way for the rest of eternity. Look what he missed. David and his company danced and sang with joy, with elation to bring the Ark of the Lord to the capital of Israel. Paul and his fellow Christians gave themselves over to joy and the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made it possible for us, you and me, to live with that same joy in our hearts. Because Jesus has made us free, no longer shackled by our mistakes, by our sins, but able to go forth with confidence, with joy to be his people, resurrection people, people spreading peace, people spreading love. Lord, we thank you for that. Let's just take a few seconds to praise God and thank him, to thank our Lord for all that he's done for us. Praise you, Lord, and help us glorify your name by who we are and who we proclaim with our words, with our actions, with our prayers. Thank you for joy. Amen.